A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Tuesday morning. Yesterday, had a little bit of rain in the morning. As I stated, had to do some work involved outside, and rain always makes you aware of how much you appreciate when the sun is out and you're trying to accomplish something. You are very protective as far as like electrical components that you may be working on, or even your own tools or resources that you have available. So you're especially guarded, in that time frame when there are raindrops falling on my head. So we had that opportunity yesterday. And then, of course, it's always too fascinating for me when I go to jobs or look at how things have been done. And you can't help but somewhat make assumptions, possibly because of what's before you. And then also you scratch your head and say, why did they do this way, or the work that was performed? It's just, yeah, I'm sure that's probably been said about a lot of things or applications when you consider stuff that's been installed or worked on. Yesterday was pleasant. Got to go eat at one of my favorite restaurants, South 21. Don't know if you guys ever have went to that one over there in Charlotte. Good place. Usually I get the trout plate, but yesterday for some reason I had a ribeye sandwich. That's very healthy, right? Don't tell Reagan that. So we just venture along there, got some things done. Was able to go and watch a basketball game last night. My son, some of his friends. That was fun. It was late. You say late. Asked Reagan. I was just like, what time is this game again? It's 8 o'clock. I'm like, oof. You start getting towards 8 o'clock. That's the downward spiral for us older people. Used to be able to. That's what I thought about days in, college and when I was younger. You stay up till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, bounce up at like 6 a.m. Yeah, that probably wouldn't happen, right? Nowadays. I guess it could happen, but it'd probably be a full pot of coffee and some emergency or something. Anyway, lots of prayer. So we kind of find ourselves in a different pattern than how we used to function. Such as life, I would say, for all of us. But lots of, just the weather seems to be kind of coming around. Beautiful outside already with the sun shining. And so we will rejoice in the sunshine. We should rejoice in the rain as well, but there's something about the sun to be said, and sooner or later it will be summertime. I noticed I was looking outside and looks like the grass is starting to develop more and more. So that will be a consistent routine as well. Cutting grass. Oh, the joys. We're kind of trudging along through the week and little by little. And I hope that everyone's week is going well thus far. I pray that, that your week is, I'm sorry, I was looking at the TV. I have the TV on right now as well, so I probably got distracted. My apologies. But yeah, I hope everyone is doing well, and I pray that all is good on your end. Jumping back into 1 Corinthians, before we read the passage, chapter 8 specifically, really kind of hones us into our call, if we have made a profession of faith in Christ and we are united with a body of believers, and therefore we come together to serve God and then to serve each other in a way that is of edification, of building each other up with love, through love, I think there's a passage that basically kind of points us in this mentality that Paul is directing us to follow after, in consideration of maybe the way and how we may view our rights or liberties. So I think that's something to consider as we, you know, kind of unpack that thought process again that Paul is proclaiming here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, as we as we also look at the fact of how it is very important to be in a place to where other people, especially in the confines of having that relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, and taking care in how we deal with their maturity level, deal with their progression and their faith, and then vice versa. I mean, you know, again, there's sanctification process that works within us as we take this call of God calling us to Himself, and then now we are a new creation by Christ living and dwelling within us through the Spirit of God. So therefore, there is a newness, but there is a progression in how we kind of grow in that stature. So as we look at those, you know, areas of relationships, there are probably people that would come to mind where their spiritual maturity may not be as advanced. And then, of course, there are probably people that we have relationship with that may be new believers. And there's past experiences there that they lived through that maybe we didn't live through. There's, you know, a term that we sometimes associate with people, that there could possibly be addictions, there could be past missteps, or just things in which that they were once involved in that had a heavy influence in their life. And so now, as a believer and walking in the light of Christ, they desire to go a different direction. And, you know, for some Christians, you would say that all of us have a different testimony. There's no, you know, there may be some similar backgrounds, but all of us come from different places of origin, of how God cultivated our hearts and, you know, drew us to Himself. So therefore, there's a different way in how all that played out. And you could say that some people in their faith recognize this at a younger age, some maybe even at a later age. I mean, we probably look back at testimonies of people's experience, and I can even think back into my life and look back at people who made those professions of faith on their deathbed, and they were, you know, advanced in years. And then again, you know, and that's the beauty of God's grace, is that the love of God surpasses the wisdom of man. And I think that's also a place that Paul is trying to direct us as we consider our relationships with one another, is that we don't use knowledge in a way to belittle or condemn someone. Instead, we should be, you know, overwhelmed by the love of God, and that should consume us more than what we think or believe on how we view things from. And what I'm speaking of is you know, I referenced it yesterday, Gnosticism, knowledge. And so not to say, you know, there, of course, are people that are very well educated, far more educated than you know, in their thoughts and understanding of Scripture. And outside of Scripture, there are people that have much knowledge. But knowledge in of itself is not what we hold to. So we have to be careful when we look at those truths and what God's Word is directing us to be drawn to. And so we come back to this place of basically in relationship to how God operates towards us. And that's the overarching, I said yesterday, the lava that consumes and basically, you know, destroys all of the intellect that we think of ourselves or our thought process. Again, somewhat repetitious, but I really want to hone in on what is being presented here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's, you know, we come and we read, again, the barbecue or meat offered to idols, but it's really a bigger concept when you consider what Paul is describing. And so for us to maybe get under the umbrella of this idea and this conviction that we should hold fast to. So I just want to basically give a reference here in 1 John in this passage that has been probably read many times, but I think it's applicable even now. So 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that one who loves God should love his brother also. And then in chapter 5 of 1 John, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So, God is love, and therefore we again see the vital importance of our interaction with other believers. And I think this kind of gives us a starting point to be directed as we read 1 Corinthians and go through chapter 8, because the underlying truth to us, towards us, is to look at how God operates in our hearts and how this makes us understand that we interact again with our brother or sister in Christ. So going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we had went through verse 3, and Paul goes again in speaking of meat offered to idols. He says, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us here there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not condemn us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, who have knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. So again, taking care with this liberty in which you have in Christ. Again, we've been set free. No longer are we bound as a slave and captive, being captive to sin because of Christ. We are forgiven through the cross, and so we live as free heirs of the throne. But also we live in consideration of our brothers and sisters in Christ, not to consider oneself as a lone ranger, if you will. So that's where we come to in this text, in this passage, is to see the importance of our devotion to one another. Not only is it that we love God, and because we love God is that we see the importance of a place where we look to how he loved us first. The reason why we love him is because he loved us first. It's not of our own doing. It's a gracious gift that God has supplied through the cross. And so therefore we have again that relationship through Christ. And as we read in 1 John and the significance of what that means and his love towards us. So as we let this kind of thought process again marinate, let it settle upon us, we see how important it is to what Paul is addressing. What he is addressing is the way and how we show that love towards each other. Meaning that if there is a brother or sister in Christ that has not maybe matured as much as we have, or in this context, again, in what's being stated in the passage, that they may have at one point worshiped idols and then they were converted, but yet they are still young in their faith, and then they see this person who says that I'm a follower of Christ, but yet I'm eating meat that's been offered to idols, and I've abandoned that thought process, then you could see that there's a little bit of confusion. So maybe to put it into some comparison, it would be like someone who just recently made a profession of faith in Christ, and say they are not eating, you know, as much as they once were, or maybe they are abstaining from a lot of sugary content because they need to, that food's been a problem. And so they're making a conscious effort to abstain, not that they stop eating, but they're making an effort to basically not indulge in their habits of what they formerly used to be involved in. And then you have another brother who comes along and, you know, he's been in a relationship with Christ for years, and so he doesn't have the problem that the other brother has, and so therefore, you know, he's eating there together or whatever may be the situation in the same environment. And, you know, he says, hey, you know, why don't you have some more cake? Or, you know, whatever may be the case. You know, offering some more to indulge in this, you know, opportunity that's before him. That would, you again, maybe, we could argue that point the same way. Maybe the other brother didn't know that this other brother had, you know, an issue, or had, you know, been in this time of where he's trying to make a change, and therefore he's, you know, watching what he eats. All that's well and good, but the point is that when you consider your brother and sister in Christ, you consider them before your own needs or wants. You consider others before yourself, and that's all. You know, that's a hard place to sometimes be in, but I think it's important because of what Paul signifies in the passage, is that we do this out of care and concern, as much as care and concern that was provided that God so loved us. As much care and provision has been, you know, demonstrated through the cross, through Christ, and what he's accomplished on our behalf, there should be that representation towards others, especially in the body of Christ, as we edify one another and love towards one another, and not make a mess of maybe how we interact with each other. So being courteous, being conscious of the other individual. Some people, especially in this day and age, because of what happened recently with the coronavirus, they're not quick to maybe shake your hand at church like they used to. So, you know, you kind of have to read that person. So it may just be a fist bump. And some people may shake your hand, and that's okay. So we, you know, we take care and we're mindful of other believers. Now, a lot of times I think that some people would say that, you know, well, just because they don't like it this way, or just because maybe they're, you know, function differently, we shouldn't make accommodations. And, you know, that could go into a whole nother rabbit trail. But I think just being, again, mindful of that sacrificial love that's demonstrated towards others as we are in relationship with Christ. And again, with the mentality that we have, and I say this to myself, is that we are very selfish people. That's just the truth. Sometimes we don't want to hear that, but it is. And we don't want to really consider others before we consider ourselves. We would rather consider ourselves first. You know, let's just be real about it. We would rather consider our needs and desires first instead of considering someone else. And that's, again, that's the work of Christ. God's love for us is that he considered us first. He considered us first and considered us so much so that he gave his life for us. So if we, you know, again, that forethought that consumes us as believers, it presses in to such a way that if we sincerely devote our lives to that mentality, and that's the reason why you could sum it up, to love God and to love others. If that mentality consumes us in such a way that it's as I've stated in the past on this, is it's the aroma of our being. You know, there's a way in which people remember how we have considered them, the consideration of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as what Paul is stating here is that, you know, be careful in how you deal with what you, let me put it this way, I'm gonna just sum it up. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And especially in reference to how that bears on your brother or sister in Christ. So take care and be cautious. Make sure that how you interact with one another is, again, giving glory to God, and that there is a building up of the brother, of the brotherhood, of the brethren, if you will, the church. I think if we spent more time on this, again, that umbrella of thought, how is it that I can help you today? You know, I know this is it's cliche, but you know, Chick-fil-A, my pleasure. but a sincere heart devoted towards our brethren. That's what Paul is calling us to. Not a sincere heart towards the ways in which we think or the knowledge in which we've gravitated towards. Love is the true knowledge and the true wisdom of God. For God is love. And that's what he's calling us to. And I think if that represents the person we are, then that makes a much greater impact, because Paul goes on to say that if you operate under the context of basically your liberties and your rights of what you understand, that you could be a stumbling block, is what he describes in that passage. So I would rather be someone who edifies and builds another believer up instead of destroying them. So may we be zealous and passionate about that call to build each other up under the wisdom of God's love. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.